Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
The Ashley Benefield trial continues on in a series of testimonies. This week, key witnesses provided detailed accounts surrounding the events that led up to the fatal shooting of Doug Benefield. The court heard from law enforcement officials, Doug's family attorney, and those close to Ashley Benefield, painting a complex picture of the couple's turbulent relationship. In 17, Ashley Benefield moved from Bradenton, Florida, to live with her mother, Alicia Byers. At the time, she was pregnant with Doug's child. In March of 2018, Doug retained a family attorney, Stephanie Murphy, to facilitate communication regarding his involvement in their child's birth. Murphy testified initially the purpose of hiring me was to draft a letter to Ashley, who was pregnant with their child at the time. The purpose of the letter was to open the door for discussion about Doug's participation in the upcoming birth of their child, but also to advise that if she did not feel comfortable with him being present at the birth, he was respecting her need for space. Let's take a listen here. This is social worker Dr. Barbara Russell talking about some injuries that she had witnessed on Ashley. Let's take a look.
Did Ashley Benefield look like that when you saw her prior to the day of the homicide?
Prior to the day, no.
Okay. What was different about her?
When I saw her after the incident, there was edema, sweat swelling on the side of her face.
Okay, and that did that include her right eye?
It included her left eye.
Left eye, rather?
Yes.
Okay. And when you saw her before the homicide, did she have swelling on the left side of her face, on her cheek and her eyelid?
She never had, no.
In fact, when you saw her immediately following the incident that morning at about 1 a.m., was there any indication that by Ashley that her head was hurting?
Objection, hearsay.
Sustained.
Spontaneous both. Statement, Your Honor.
That existing mental, emotional, physical condition.
Can we approach?
Yes.
Back to the letter. Despite Murphy's efforts, Ashley did not respond, and she was induced the day after the letter was sent. Doug was unaware his daughter was born until 5 to 6 weeks later. Following this, Ashley began filing complaints against Doug, alleging domestic violence and poisoning, but an injunction was not granted. Doug eventually met his daughter when she was 6 months old under a court-granted parenting plan. Murphy recounted the surprising turn of events during this visitation. Ashley decided to go with Doug for the visitation, which came as a surprise. I cautioned Doug, advising against it, but he chose to proceed.
And I think you might have said this, but the child was born on what day?
She was born on the 19th of March.
Okay. And at the time the child was born, did you or Doug know that the child was born?
No, gosh, we didn't know for a good 5 or 6 weeks after she was born.
Okay, and how did you find out that the child was born?
I actually found out because I had been monitoring the docket for Manatee County court system, just because there had been no response. And so on May 6th, I saw that Ms. Benefield had filed a petition for protection against domestic violence on, I think it was April 23rd. So about 2 weeks prior to me finding out, she had filed the petition. And in that filing, there was she identified the birth date of the child, as well as, I think, the child's name, which is the first time we learned about that, too.
Okay. And you said she filed a petition for, what did you call it?
It's a petition for protection against domestic violence. So it's an injunction. A lot of people refer to it as a restraining order, but it wasn't granted as an injunction at the time.
Okay. So when, just for knowledge of people that may not know, when someone does a request for an injunction, what is sort of the procedure that it needs to go through?
So a person who files a petition for an injunction, they file it at the courthouse in the clerk's office, and then that gets sent up to the judge, usually a family law judge who's just in charge of injunctions that day. And then the judge has three options, I believe. One is just to deny it completely. The second option is to grant a temporary injunction, but then there's a follow-up or a return hearing.
I'll overrule.
And then the third option is what happened in this particular case, is that the judge denied the petition as a temporary injunction, so there weren't enough, there wasn't enough evidence in the petition to warrant a temporary injunction, but a hearing was set to review it.
Okay.
The initial meeting was followed by about 11 months of relative peace between the couple. However, tensions resurfaced as Doug filed for divorce and Ashley made further complaints, including another injunction filing. A psychological evaluation for both parties was scheduled to be discussed in a hearing set for September 30th of 20. Tragically, Doug was killed 3 days before the hearing. Ashley's defense attorney, Neil Taylor, argued that she acted in self-defense. Quote, "The reason my client shot her husband was out of fear for her life. On September 27, threats and intimidation turned to physical violence, and she was forced to defend her life," Taylor stated. Prosecutors, however, portrayed a very different motive. Assistant State Attorney Suzanne O'Donnell argued this was a custody battle, that this mother was going to win at all costs, and the cost was the life of Doug Benefield. Among the testimonies was Chris Gillum, a domestic violence investigator with the Manatee County Sheriff's Office. He highlighted a statement by Ashley years before the shooting that raised concerns after Doug's death. She let out like a screech or a high-pitched scream, and she says, "I will do whatever I have to do to keep my baby." You explicitive. I wonder if she said explicitive, if that was how that... You explicitive?
You would hope.
I'm going to start doing that from now on. When I'm like, although I never really yell at anybody. So, but it would just be...
Well, you know, it's never too late to start, Tony.
That's true. Might as well pick that up as a habit later in life.
You bet.
Here's Gillum testifying. Gillum, you explicitive.
She was wanting to know the status of the case and when Doug would be getting arrested for the violation of the injunction.
Okay. And when you do a violation of injunction, when you're investigating a violation of injunction, you can do several things, correct? You can, well, explain what you can do with it.
We can make a physical arrest in the case. There could be no charges filed in a case, or we can send the case to the state attorney's office.
Okay. So if you send the case to the state attorney's office, what does that mean?
We're just letting them make the ultimate decision if they think there's enough for charges to be filed in this case.
Okay. So it sounds like there's a no charges and then arrest and...
Sustain.
So you said Ms. Benefield was calling you asking about the arrest of Mr. Benefield?
Yes.
Okay. And what did you tell her?
That the case was still suspended at that point, and when I had an answer for her, I would let her know.
Okay. And so that was the beginning of your conversations?
Yes.
Right? So, did she continue to call?
Yes, repeatedly. Twice a week at least.
And speak to you personally?
Yes.
And what was her... comments, what were her concerns?
It was the same thing. When was Doug going to be arrested for violating the injunction?
Had you ever told her that he was going to be arrested?
I did not.
Okay. At some point, did you decide to forward the charges?
I did.
And is that to the state attorney's office like we talked about?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Did you inform her of that?
I sure did.
Okay. And what was her reaction to that?
She was upset that he was not being arrested.
Okay. Were you able to explain to her that the process and how this was going to go?
Sustained.
Were you able to explain the process to her?
Yes, I was.
Okay. And how did she take that?
She was not happy that I was not placing Doug under arrest.
Okay.
Okay, this says a lot right there. She's not happy when things aren't going exactly how she thinks that they should go.
You know, is there any chance that, and I'm just asking as a woman who has had to deal with some hormonal shit, is there any chance that some of this quote unquote crazy that we're hearing about could have been postpartum?
I guess anything is possible. I'm going to go more with personality disorder because I think it's there's evidence of it prior to her having the child.
And that's true. That's true.
Yeah. Gillum, who had recently passed a South Carolina injunction violation case reported by Ashley to the state attorney's office, mentioned that the statement initially did not seem like a direct threat. At that point, it was just not relevant for my case. There was no reason, but circumstances had changed. I thought that was information that needed to be heard, he explained.
She was upset. And at that point, I would call it a dramatic cry, hysterical cry, started happening. And I'm still informing her, we're not going to do that. We're just not going to arrest him in the courtroom. And she made a comment, something to the effect of, if the judge sees you arrest him, this will help me keep my baby. So I thought that was a pretty bold statement. And I'm like, I'm still trying to give her the benefit of the doubt. She just gave birth. Maybe she's confused. And I'm trying to explain to her gently, that's just not going to happen, especially not going to happen for a judge to see to help you in a civil matter.
And did you, in fact, explain all that to her?
Yes, I did.
And how did she react?
We went back and forth 5 minutes or so. Her just kept requesting to arrest him. I said, this is not going to happen. And her tone turned from the crying to very aggressive. And she says, you will effing arrest him in front of the judge, and I will make sure you do it.
What did you say to that?
I started pushing back a little bit, and I said, it's not going to happen. Whatever you say or do, you cannot make me arrest somebody in front of a judge, and it's just not going to happen.
And what did she do?
I guess she started crying again and came out with a comment, something to the effect of, I can't believe you're willing to allow Doug to kill me and the baby.
Okay.
And that hadn't come up in this phone call. That the phone call had dealt with me arresting Doug in front of a judge, and then it turned to not arresting him and allowing me to let him kill her and the baby.
She's not a manipulative person or anything.
Well, and now it's really sounding that way, isn't it?
It's very much sounding that way. It's sounding like she wants to get her way at all costs, even if there's nothing there. But I do believe in her mind, she thinks that there's this threat and she thinks that there's this danger. But I think that's the crux of this case is, okay, she believes that there's this threat through her prism of how she thinks, but her prism is not really based in reality. And if she has a personality disorder, that's how that works. That's how people like that function. And it's not based in reality. But they full wholeheartedly believe whatever bullshit is going through their mind. And it's not like they're sitting there trying to make things up. I mean, there are aspects of that where they will lie and cheat. But it's just second nature. That's how they function. It's how they've gotten through life. It's the only way they know how to survive. But I think a lot of times, you know, they believe they are justified in whatever they are doing. That whatever it is, it's for the greater good. It's for the better cause, which is ultimately themselves. But they will do and say whatever they need to or kill somebody if that's what they think is the best thing, the best solution. and then deny that they did it for any sort of purpose other than their own well-being. There was a danger. There was a threat, a perceived threat, even if there really wasn't. And that's kind of where my opinion is on this case. I think she truly thought that Doug was a threat. And it doesn't help that Doug did shoot a fucking gun into the ceiling.
Well, okay, yeah. I was going to say, let's not forget that detail because I don't know a lot of guys who have done that.
No, that's not okay. But if you do that to someone who already has this issue, your threat level, I mean, to anyone, really, it goes up quite a bit. And you're going to be a perceived threat basically forever, you know, to almost anyone, but especially if someone does not see reality on reality's terms. So that's where we kind of get to the battered woman syndrome. But at the same point, someone lost their life here because someone's version of reality was not, in fact, reality.
There's a lot of factors at play here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's really complex because, okay, let's say that she's a little bit off the her bubble. Well, he is too.
I agree.
Or was. So now you've got this combination of two unstable people who aren't acting rationally, and one of them just loses their shit, and somebody ends up dead.
Yep.
So it sounds like he's guilty of some stuff, too. It's just he's not there to defend himself because she killed him.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically on trial here, too, to a certain extent. Obviously, he can't speak for himself.
Right.
And all we really have is the claims of this or that. And again, a judge had already said, I don't believe you. There's not a scintilla of truth to some of these accusations that you're making of being poisoned and things of that nature. And again, I think that there's probably nuggets of truth mixed in with the stories that she's spun. But when you start identifying things that really aren't true, it's hard to believe any of them.
So what are your feelings? Where do you think this is going to go?
I don't know. This is a tough one. I honestly, I'll say hung jury on this.
Yeah, I don't have a prediction. I think I'm going to refrain from saying one way or the other. I'm leaning toward guilty, I guess, if I were to say one thing or another.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's just because he's not there to defend himself.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out.
We will. It's a fascinating one. It might be to the jury by the weekend. So we'll follow this.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Boto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
From ESPN's 30 for 30 podcast, this is Murder at the U.
Did you say someone got shot?
November 2006, a college football star on his way to NFL dreams, gunned down in broad daylight.
Just bawling, crying, and he said, Coach, they killed him.
No weapon, missing witnesses,
conflicting accounts, and for years, no arrest.
She insinuated that the Miami PD had done nothing, and it became a little bit more accusatory.
The case goes cold, rumors spread, and the truth gets buried. Until now.
His world could come crashing down. According to him, it was over.
The ending, something no one saw coming, because this story isn't over yet. From ESPN's 30 for 30 podcast, this is Murder at the U. Binge the full season right now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.